Join the Toronto Holocaust Museum and its partners for a community-wide Yom HaShoah commemoration on Sunday, May 5th. A moving evening of film, candlelighting, music, and a tribute to survivors we've recently lost. Keynote speaker Yoni Berus from Yad Vashem will reflect on Holocaust remembrance post-October 7th. The program is at Beth Emeth Synagogue at 7 p.m. Register at torontoholocaustmuseum.org.
Hamilton, Ontario, the Miss Canada Beauty Contest draws the Dominion's 36 most beautiful girls. Chosen in elimination contests throughout Canada, they now vie for prizes that include a $3,000 scholarship. This top prize and the crown go to a Halifax beauty, Betty Jane Ferguson. She'll soon meet America's...
That's what it sounded like in 1948, the very first Miss Canada broadcast from Hamilton. In its heyday, the venerable pageant used to attract millions of viewers on CTV each spring. But after 45 years, in 1992, the owners got into financial trouble, and the contest was cancelled for good. To be fair, it was probably also because the feminist movement felt the beauty pageant was totally sexist and no longer an appropriate way to celebrate the achievements of Canadian women. A few years ago, a Quebec-based outfit bought the rights to Miss Canada and to Miss Teen Canada as well, and they've been running the pageant ever since, although they ditched the bathing suits and they focused totally on showcasing a contestant's personality, which is one of the main reasons Ruby Grinberg decided to enter this year. She's born and raised in Toronto, she's a 20-year-old student, and she's now one of the 21 finalists. She's a Holocaust survivor's granddaughter, a world champion public speaker and debating coach, and she's just about to graduate with a degree in political science from UBC. On May 16th, she'll be heading to Montreal for the grand finale and the chance to wear the Miss Canada tiara with the Swarovski crystals. If she wins, and you can help her by voting, and I'll explain how later, Grinberg would be the first Jewish woman to win the modern-day version of Miss Canada. She wouldn't be the first one ever. That honor belonged to an Ottawa woman, the late Connie Gale Feller, in 1961. But she didn't enjoy the perks for very long. Only weeks after she won, they stripped her of her title, and her family felt there might have been anti-Semitism involved. Ruby Grinberg wasn't aware of her predecessor, but she's very aware that her own Jewish identity, her strong Jewish identity, could face similar challenges, especially after October 7th, when she steps into the very public limelight of this year's Miss Canada contest, although they haven't yet published her Jewish-sounding last name. But she's ready for it.
Quite frankly, my experience in lectures and in classes at UBC has prepared me for that more than anything, I will say. I go to classes and people just slip that in practically every single opportunity that they have. So it's terrible that I've had to develop that thick skin, but I'm almost so used to hearing it now that I feel as though if I were to be targeted by that extent, that I could mentally remove myself.
I'm Ellen Besner, and this is what Jewish Canada sounds like for Tuesday, April the 16th, 2024. Welcome to the CJN Daily, a podcast of the Canadian Jewish News, sponsored by Metropia. Miss Canada is for women 20 to 33 years old, and it's not clear how many other contestants applied or how Ruby Grinberg was selected as one of the finalists. According to the Miss Canada website, the women get judged on their attitude during the contest and how well they get along with the other contestants, but also, of course, on their presentation and marks for posture and how they walk on stage. And like all reality TV shows these days, the public gets to vote for their favorites even before the pageant starts, and those votes are worth 15% of the total score. Right now, Ruby Grinberg sits in the top five. Winning would give her a year-long opportunity to travel and speak to audiences about the cause most important to her, which is fighting cancer. And also, if she decides to go down that route, fighting anti-Semitism. Ruby Grinberg joins us now from Vancouver, where she was finishing up her semester of studies at UBC.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so happy to be here.
Well, you know, congratulations on becoming a finalist for Miss Canada. You're in Vancouver and you're finishing up your final couple of weeks of your last semester. Tell us what prompted you to enter
Yeah, well, growing up, I never thought in a million years that I would be a quote-unquote pageant kid, but I watched the movie Miss Congeniality when I was on the plane, because I fly back and forth from Toronto all the time with my family being from Toronto, so I saw the dynamics between all of the girls there, and I thought, well, I've done public speaking, I've done debate, I've done all of those realms of competitions. I think it would be pretty cool to get myself involved in this. And I was very happy a couple weeks later to find out that I had become a finalist. I actually ran into my mother's room and hadn't told her that I did apply, so that was a bit of a surprise for her. But from there, I just became more and more excited to meet the girls, be able to share my story and my platform, and just be able to kind of hopefully wear that crown well.
It's a very historic pageant. Everyone maybe of a certain age might remember it used to be on CTV. Then it was canceled for many years for... It was a different vibe than the walk across the stage in a bathing suit contest. How does that appeal to you? Because you don't seem to me the type of person who would put up with any of that stuff.
You got me right on the money there, I will say. If it was the walk across the stage type of pageant in the bathing suit, I don't think I would be competing in said event. I believe very strongly in bodily autonomy and being very comfortable in your skin. So believe me, I will put on a pretty dress and walk the stage in heels, but that's for me and no one else. So yes, it very much used to be that sort of bikini-based competition. But the way it is now is more about who you are on the inside, as cliche as that sounds, and the values that you espouse to others. So it's a very personality-based competition, absolutely.
What's in it for you when you sort of expose yourself to this kind of public scrutiny? What do you hope you'll get out of this?
Well, for me personally, I hope to be able to use the platform if I were to win to try to make a difference. I think it's not a small thing to win such an obviously coast-to-coast competition like that of Miss Canada. I see what the past winners have done. They've been able to raise money for women in STEM, for women in construction, for different pediatric funds. So I think that by that regard alone, and that philanthropic lens is something that I personally would want to be using from that experience. But I think even more than that is because it is kind of that inner personality and who you are on the inside, I like to consider myself a more upbeat, kind of optimistic, positive person. And I think that that near lens alone, I try to be spreading to others, and I would want to be using the platform for that.
On your website, you talk a little bit about the motivation for what you hope to do, which is fundraising for cancer. You're doing this for your family. Tell us a little bit about what it means to you.
Yeah, so I lost my grandmother, my maternal grandmother, when I was in 10th grade to lung cancer. My bubby was my best friend. I loved her so dearly. And it was so hard on me to see the impact that cancer had in her life, because she, to me, was kind of that star and that sun in the sky and had such an incredible energy that I try to exude in my everyday life. So to see someone be so hurt by something so uncontrollable was very, very hard for me. And then to take that one step further, my mom, when I was growing up, I was in fourth grade when she was diagnosed with breast cancer. And she had radiation the first time and was able to overcome breast cancer, but then was diagnosed again only a couple of years later, where she had to get chemotherapy. And my mom's the type of person who can do everything. And I always say that she gets more accomplished in one day than most people do in a week. And so she... to really be so hurt and not be in that same spirit and that same mindset was really telling to me as a young woman. And so just seeing the fact that Miss Canada has the ability to be raising for such crucial funds and to be bolstering causes that I think are so important, like that of cancer research, which I know so many people in the Jewish community and elsewhere across Canada have been impacted by, that's something that is really true and near and dear to my heart.
Okay, so through this platform, this is one avenue. When you wrote to us and said, hey, I'm doing this, want to talk to me, you also said that one other thing that was very important to you was to share and be a platform and advocate for anti-Semitism awareness and combating anti-Semitism. Why didn't you put that on the website of this pageant?
That's something I really wanted to discuss, actually, because that was a conscious decision that I had to make. And I came to that decision because I go to school in BC, and I think that it is such a pervasive problem of anti-Semitism being able to underpin and just underlie that of the educational framework that I see, and the student body and all of the different referendums and articles and what I hear my fellow students share. I think that it's just such a pervasive problem on university campuses and across our nation. So in structuring my platform for Miss Canada, I had to deliberate as to what issues are closest to me. And as someone who went to Bialik Hebrew Day School for 10 years of my life, believe me, I'm very well versed in terms of issues of anti-Semitism and what individuals in the Jewish community face. And so from that, I really had to be making the decision as to what I wanted to share on my platform, that I was stuck between a rock and a hard place. But I ultimately came with the decision that if I was able to win and go with a route that I felt to be fairly unpolarizing, I could then make so much more difference with that platform that I would be given in terms of anti-Semitism, rather than potentially have to be giving into the masses to not even have that platform regardless. And so I would rather have the ability to be making a difference with that platform than not. And that's ultimately what informed my decision.
Just that decision that you had to make is very telling in the times we live in now. You mentioned the non-beauty pageant part of it appealed to you. But in this day and age, social media, people who are women who go on, or even men, I shouldn't say that too, who go on social media or are being in these competitions, they get hateful comments. They get judged. They get, you know, trolled, whatever words speak to you. How worried are you about being on the receiving end of this kind of stuff?
Yeah, I do have a private Instagram account, so I think that that helps in terms of...
I just tried to join, yeah.
Yes, a nice little barrier. I do think that that helps. I think that closer to the competition, I'll probably create a public account where I will be engaging in that sort of Miss Canada lens. And in that case, I think it's very important to have thick skin. I grew up with two older brothers, two older step-siblings. So really, I always say that I'm the youngest of five. And I think that that has really taught me to have a thick skin, absolutely. And that's something that I hope to not have to use if I were to be creating that public page. But knowing the internet and knowing the interconnection of social media, it probably is something that I'm going to have to create a formidable front against.
Especially if they find out that you're Jewish, which they will, and they'll call you Genocide Canada or Miss Genocide Canada, something like that. So you have to be prepared for that.
Yeah.
Okay, well, we'll be watching that. I want to just move a little bit towards the next steps. You're a finalist. They told you that a few weeks ago. So what happens next?
Yes. So what's happened next is I have to buy a red dress because that's one thing that I have to have, as well as a black dress. So I certainly have to do some shopping, but I head to Montreal for May 16th and I'm there until the Monday. And then, yeah, it's competition time.
What happens if you win? When you win, can you go on to Miss Universe or how does this work? Or is this the end of the road because it's not affiliated? There's a lot of these pageants and maybe you can help.
Yeah, so there's three different streams of pageantry in Canada that are kind of top of the line recognized is the way that I'd frame it. So there's Miss Canada Universe. And so that goes your regional level, then the one delegate will be selecting to represent Canada at the Universe pageant. Similarly, there is another Miss Canada Universe equivalent that is Miss Canada World. Those ones are more of the pageantry that is kind of looks based and but the one that I'm competing in is Miss Canada. So the end of that line is Miss Canada because it's supposed to be that individual who represents that of the Canadian spirit and the Canadian people.
So you get a tiara?
I do. And a sash. And I'm excited.
What color? You can't wear blue and white.
I will wear blue and white. Quite frankly, I believe very much in reusing that of clothing if it fits for the competition. And because I had a backyard prom when I was in high school, as per COVID-19, I do have a prom dress to rewear if it still fits me. So that is blue, and hopefully I'll add in a couple white accessories just to show that spirit that I really try to convey.
I can't see, unfortunately, in the Zoom, but what are you wearing around your neck?
Oh, I'm wearing my ruby necklace. I actually got that from my grandmother right around the age of 12. So when I would be bat mitzvahed.
You had a bat mitzvah, or you did not?
I did not have a bat mitzvah, actually. And that is closely associated with my connection with my mom having cancer. She did not have hair at that time. And not that that was the number one influence, but she was not well and not in her best spirits in spite obviously of everything happening. So that coupled with having that long-standing Hebrew education was something that I never pursued of having a bat mitzvah. I did have a sweet 16 where I did the hora. I kind of cheated a little bit, I know, but I do hope if I go on Birthright or if I go on any of the trips that take individuals to see concentration camps in Europe, I hope to be getting bat mitzvahed in one of those opportunities because I think that that would be really special for me.
Is your family a Holocaust family? Are they... Tell me where they came from.
Yeah. So my mom's family were from Austria and Russia. And then in terms of my dad's side of the family, my grandmother was born in Turkey and my grandfather was born in Romania. And my grandfather actually has a very beautiful Holocaust survival story of walking through the forest. But his older brother helped in individuals actually going to Israel to try to start a new life and escaping from the Romanian fascism that was prevailing at the time. So from there, his family was able to make their way to a small village near Haifa. And from there, he was able to complete his education, enlisted, and then stayed extra years in the IDF, serving in the Suez Canal crisis and the Six-Day War. And my grandmother actually worked in intelligence and also in nursing. So they met, and after a year, they had my aunt, and then they all immigrated to Canada in 1967.
That is quite the story. Is there anything that you want our listeners to understand about why you decided to do this? Because it's so completely out of character for you. I mean, you're debater and volunteer and you work hard and then this crazy thing.
I blame a little bit the algorithm of social media. I think that it really tries to weasel its way into practically everything we do in life. And I started getting these little advertisements about how you could apply. So that subtly led me down the train, I will say. But I, as I previously said, am not someone who overly steps out of my comfort zone too often, ironically enough, because I do love public speaking, which is very fearful for a lot of people.
Right, but you're a world champion debater. You teach people. You're a coach of debating. I mean, I'm not getting... You're going to politics after this. That's where debaters go, right?
Hopefully one day. I hope to be the premier of Alberta one day. Yeah, don't be a newbie, vote for Ruby.
Wait, why Alberta?
Well, let's look at the climate of Canada. Let's start there. I believe that Alberta has my spirit at heart a little bit. So the housing market, the job market, pretty much everything, I don't know, kind of calls my spirit a little bit.
Okay, you're graduating.
Yeah, so I graduate with my bachelor's degree in May, and then I enter into my master's degree in June, and then I will finish from there all of my classes by November.
It's quite the load. Listen, it's been fun to talk to you, and we're going to put all the links, and we'll be in touch one way or the other.
Thank you so much for just giving me the platform today to interview me. It's a pleasure to meet you. And thank you all for listening through this beautiful little episode. If you want to learn more about me, I'm always a message away. I'm always in the mood to play some Jewish geography and chat.
Thanks a lot for being on the CJN Daily.
Thank you so much for having me.
Now, as we heard earlier, there was a Jewish Miss Canada back in the early 1960s, Connie Gail Feller. She was 20 when she became Miss Canada in August of 1961. But according to newspaper reports of the day, her reign was abruptly cut short. She was stripped of the crown. And the reasons Miss Canada's organizers gave at the time were vague. Some blamed her parents. The family always thought anti-Semitism had something to do with it. Our CJN Daily producer, Zach Kaufman, knows the story well because Connie Gail Feller was his aunt's sister. He joins us now.
So your family has the
claim of being connected to the first Jewish Miss Canada in history. Did you, first of all, did you ever meet her? Did you know her?
Yeah. So my aunt is Donna Lee, formerly Feller, and her sister was Connie Gail Feller. They lived in Montreal, and she passed away on Yom Kippur, which is all to say, I did meet her a few times. I only have warm memories of her, but I didn't know her terribly well.
And in the family, everyone always knew that she was the first Jewish Miss Canada, right? It was never a family secret.
Correct. But I have to say, it was always sort of mentioned sort of offhand, and I was always surprised that it was not talked about it as much, because it seems like such an incredible story to date. She's been the only Jewish Miss Canada and only Miss Canada to have lost the crown. And whether those things are coincidental or not is something to reflect on.
What has happened in the family in terms of trying to put her story out there?
There have been a few articles that I've seen. Certainly it was something that was talked about around her passing. But again, this is something that happened in 1961 when she was 20. Her father, Joe Feller, was the owner of a major men's clothing store on Rideau Street in downtown Ottawa. They had this sort of famous house on Island Park Drive with a big F on the chimney. They were people with big personalities that were known around town. So this was not the only thing to talk about them. I don't think this was something she dwelt on. This was, you know, one thing that happened when she was 20. She had this amazing opportunity. She got to go to the Miss America pageant in Atlantic City and meet all these people and meet the prime minister. But again, it was sort of one thing in the course of a fabulous, interesting life.
So what was the situation? What happened? She got to be Miss Canada, but nobody really knew or trumpeted or even showcased the fact that she was a Jewish person. Tell me a bit about what you know about that.
So I can tell you that in the articles from back then, they don't ever mention it in the press coverage that she's Jewish. I think at the time in the 60s, post-World War II moment, lots of immigration from Eastern Europe and of Jewish families trying to fit in to Canadian culture, wanting to be seen as respectable, as not, that you were a real Canadian. You weren't.
And you weren't a greener.
You weren't a greener. You were normal. But at the time, Miss Canada was a big, big deal. You see her picture, this Jewish girl's picture, on newspaper front covers from Montreal to Toronto to Ohio to Louisiana.
She was a pinup girl, I guess, in a way, which is way before our time, but yes. But in terms of what happened, what do you know about what happened and why she was dethroned?
So that is the big question. She won the Miss Canada contest in Burlington. It was delayed because there was a bomb scare at the beauty pageant. They only announced it after they had the whole bomb squad go through. There was a big parade for her in Ottawa. She was escorted by the Prime Minister, Prime Minister Diefenbaker at the time, to meet Olympic gold medalists on Parliament Hill. And 10th of September is Rosh Hashanah that year. So it's late August when she gets the crown. On the 10th of September is Rosh Hashanah that year. Yom Kippur falls on Tuesday night, Wednesday. On Saturday, she gets a telegram saying, actually, you're no longer Miss Canada anymore. I always heard growing up that the reason she had been dethroned or had the crown taken away from her was because she refused to work on Yom Kippur and she refused to work on the high holidays. And what's interesting is that before she was dethroned, you never see any mention of her Judaism in the press. After she's dethroned, that's when you start to see things about the pageant director saying she wasn't humble enough, as she was trouble. She was not as cooperative as she should have been. So there are these sort of markers and language in the press that has this valence of, you know, they were not a good cultural fit, as you might say, in a later time for what the pageant wanted. So I say that because in the press, what the organizers cite, this Mr. Weaver says, is that it's because of parental interference. They say that the parents were making unreasonable demands, that they changed Connie Gale's swimsuit, that they were interfering in all types of ways and making all types of crazy demands, and that she had failed to show up for commitments. So there's the anti-Semitism piece, or the she wouldn't work on the Jewish holidays piece, and there's the what the organizers say in the papers, which is that she violated her commitments and parental interference.
So it was somewhere in between. And what does the family think was the lasting impact on her afterwards? Do we know? Did she regret it? Did she ever talk about it? Did she lose sponsorships or opportunities?
So she remained this incredibly vivacious person who did a lot of amazing things in her life. And in the press, in the Ottawa Citizen, and across the country, there is a lot of anger at the organizers. No one can quite understand what happened. Connie Gale loses the crown on September 23rd. By October 9th, the head of the organization, Mr. Weaver, resigns, is pushed out. And by the next April, the board of directors of Miss Canada says that the pageant is broke. Sponsors have pulled out of the pageant, and that the person who got the crown after Connie left also is threatening to pull out of being Miss Canada. I say all this just to say I don't think Connie was really terribly affected. I think public attention was really on her side after she was dethroned, got the crown taken away. She still had all of these people wanting her to do engagements. The firefighters of Ottawa, all of these people were sort of on her side, thought she had been unfairly treated. She was still beautiful, glamorous, still highly in demand. And I think the public in the country, their heart went out to her and saw her as someone who was wronged. And because the organizers would not give a straight answer about what exactly she had done to merit this treatment, I don't think she felt bad about it. She believed, and her parents believed, and our family believed, and the public believed that she was ill-treated.
Thanks, Zach, for being on the CJN Daily on this side of the microphone.
My pleasure.
And that's what Jewish Canada sounds like for this episode of the CJN Daily, sponsored by Metropia. Integrity, community, quality, and customer care. If you want to learn more about Ruby Grinberg and follow her Miss Canada journey and even vote for her, we put a link to it all in our show notes. And the same for Connie Gale Feller Salomon, which was her married name, the first Jewish Miss Canada who died in September of 2023. There's a link for that. Thanks to you all for listening to the CJN Daily.